Okay, good morning. We will call to order our second meeting of the year of the Board of Supervisors here on January 13th. If everybody please stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you all for being here. I used to have an employer that used to walk in every morning and say, another day in which to excel. And we used to hate him. He would drive us crazy, so. But I'll say that every meeting here. So it's time now for public comment. 5 minutes for public comment for anything that's not on the agenda. And we do have a couple cards here to start with. The first one will be Vernon Price.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, gentlemen of the board, Madam Clerk, ladies and gentlemen of Stanislaus County. My name is Vernon Price. I am a homeless advocate here in Stanislaus County. I'd like to speak on something this morning that's a very concern to, number one, I can't speak on other people's behalf, but I will speak on mine this morning. The process of empowerment, implications for theory and practice. I have sent this PDF to department heads. I'm really hoping that you will take the time to read this because it is a major concern, mainly of the homeless. I'll be touching some introductions this morning on said document, page number 2, reading from page number 3 also, and then moving on to page number 8 if we have time. The concept of empowerment is of increasing interest to researchers, practitioners, and citizens concerned about mental health issues. In some respects, empowerment is a new buzzword. In relation to language and politics of human services, sometimes new language is used to describe the same old practices. Others believe that empowerment language can actually lead to increased awareness. Regardless, a growing number of people are searching to understand the meaning of empowerment and ways it can be used to change their settings of their lives. Empowerment begins to be understood by examining the concepts of empowerment and powerlessness. Power is defined in the Cornell Empowerment Group as the capacity of some persons and organizations to produce intended, foreseen, and unforeseen effects on their own. I'll stop there and let you all read the rest of it because there is one thing I'd like to touch on mainly this morning. And when I touch on this, I do not want to be offensive or be pushy toward other people and other faiths, but I do want to bring out Mark chapter 5. When Jesus and his disciples were crossing over the sea and they went into the other land, there was a gentleman that was possessed. They had been trying to bind him in chains and this, that, and the other, and they could not bind him because he was walking in the catacombs. Now, in the Hebrew tongue, catacombs is the tombs. He had been demon-possessed. We, as homeless people, are possessed many times of our past, becoming victims of our past, running around in the catacombs, in the tombs, and we're still bound because society itself will not allow us to overcome that. So please, I beseech you this morning, read this document. Because it is definitely a very deep one. It's only 25 pages long, but it gives the reason why powerlessness, whether it be right, wrong, or indifferent, it is still the way a lot of people feel. We need support from people instead of being criticized for what we have done. Find one thing that a person has done right, and let's build on that. A lot of people says, well, Mr. Price, what you're doing, how's it working for you? Is it effective? Okay, I don't mean to be throwing stones because I live in an anorexic glass house. Stanislaus County, I ask you today, due to the Stanislaus County 2013-14 assessment report, what you are doing, is it effective? With the suicide rate increase of 30.2% since 2011. I've been trying to get the homeless suicide rate for 2014, but you please give me, because I do not have those actual statistics at this point, but I am searching for them. You'll find that a major percentage of your suicide is homeless. Let's overcome powerlessness. Let's become powerful together, building stronger independent lives, building a strong community, and a more vibrant Stanislaus. Is there any questions or any comments? Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Vernon. Okay, next up, Cecil Russell.
Thank you for allowing me to address you. I'm Cecil Russell, the president and CEO of the Modesto Chamber. First thing, Mr. Withrow, we want to congratulate you for being the chairman of this organization, and we're looking forward to your leadership. The second thing that I wanted to say is that on January 31st of this year at our annual gala, our Government Relations Committee and then our board has elected to give Supervisor Monteith a lifelong achievement award for his government service in that. And just wanted to make a public announcement that we're very proud to do that for Dick Monteith and recognize his service to the community almost a quarter century in that. And so congratulations. Thank you.
Thanks, Cecil. And we're glad you're doing that for Supervisor Monteith. Well deserved. Thank you. Okay. Any other public comment for which we didn't get any cards for here? Okay, we'll move on to consent calendar. Anything, any items on the consent calendar anyone would like to pull?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a comment on B2. It doesn't necessarily need to be pulled, but just a quick comment.
Okay. You want to go ahead and do it right now?
I'll do that right now. Item B2 has to do with the closeout report for Modesto Regional Fire Authority, where the remaining money is divided back up. Just want to make a quick comment on what that money is the efficiencies that were found while we were in MRFA. And so many good people, but so much blood, sweat, and tears into making that organization go, and we have several million dollars that we're returning back to government. County gets a small portion of that because we put a small portion of the revenue stream into the organization, but government in whole is receiving back over $3 million in efficiencies have been found, and that I think needs to be celebrated. So it didn't work with fire, but I don't think that should preclude us from looking at other opportunities in the future. Efficiencies is how we're going to balance our budgets in general government. I'm not just talking county, just not talking city, but government needs to become as efficient as possible, and this organization did find efficiencies. It's just a shame we couldn't make it work, but doesn't mean we shouldn't try in the future.
Great, thanks, Paul. And I just want to add, I know a lot of blood, sweat, and tears on your part went into that, and we appreciate all you did and all the efficiencies that they did take place. There was a result of your efforts, a big part of that. So we all here very much appreciate all you did, MRFA. Thank you. Okay. If no other items to pull, then I'll ask for a motion for the consent calendar.
Motion to approve consent calendar.
Motion approved. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Pass. 5-0. Okay. Item B7. The approval of the annual progress report for the Stanislaus County Employees and Mentor Program. Mr. Boggs, good morning.
Good morning, Chairman Withrow, and congratulations as well.
Thank you.
Members of the board, CEO Risen, Council Doring, Keith Boggs, Assistant Executive Officer, here this morning to share the annual update on your employee mentor program at the 16th anniversary. The Stanislaus County Employee Mentor Program is a prime example of your leadership and your employee mentor's commitment to community. As of this morning, this little program has amassed just shy of 24,000 hours of mentor time serving young people in our school system, 23,963 hours. If you think about this for a quick moment, 23,963 hours would be like dedicating 11 and a half full-time employees for one full year. While our employees continue to rally around this outreach, your investment, a nominal $1,000 annually, pales in comparison to the significant student outcomes, such as improved reading levels and subject comprehension, aversion to truancy, kids showing up to school. We all know the old adage, you can't learn if you're not there. Improvements in social and interpersonal skills, enhanced self-esteem and confidence. In 2014, your program saw 193 total mentors participating, and that includes all partners. This is an increase from 142 participants in 2013. Total county employee mentors equaled 126 of that 193. All partner hours were an impressive 1,469 hours, with 944 of those hours the direct contribution of your county staff. Almost as impressive is the fact that 17 county departments participated in this program in 2014. 17 departments. This is clearly an organization-wide, a systemic effort, and it continues to grow and develop to suit the needs of our employees, our partners, and most importantly, our young people. Every year, we track departmental and partner total hours. In 2014, the Community Services Agency had the highest total contribution at 185 hours. That being said, several other departments also had high year contributions that are worthy of acknowledgement this morning, including the Clerk of the Board Office, congratulations Christine and crew, 43 hours, the Chief Executive Office, 112 hours, the Department of Child Support Services at 98, General Services Agency, 90 hours, Public Health, 83 hours, Library at 75 hours, and our Clerk Recorder at 74 hours. Also noteworthy, since program inception, the Department of Child Support Services, DCSS, has the highest departmental participation rate at an impressive 3,175.5 hours. And I thank Norma Baker for going right down to the half hour. This remains a very grassroots effort. I'd like to take a moment just to recognize the mentor program site coordinators for their absolute commitment to this program. For without their ownership, we would not be here this morning celebrating at the beginning of our 17th consecutive year. A key to the success of this program continues to be that it's extremely easy to implement, extremely easy to maneuver. Our program focuses on young people, grades 3 through 6, when kids are in that critical transition stage, pre-middle school. It's a team-based approach, providing our employees the opportunity to participate in teams of up to 3 employees per team. That's not to say that we don't have one-on-one mentors, we still do. But in this challenging work environment we live in, branding the team-based approach has allowed our employees to engage and commit, knowing that if work obligations should arise, a teammate will fill the void and make sure that the team's protege, their young person, gets the time and attention that we have committed to. The Stanislaus County Employee Mentor Program continues to increase its visibility through active outreach and community participation. Our partners include Modesto City Schools, and I thank Ms. Abel and Tiffany Burns for their leadership. The County Office of Education, thank you, Mr. Chenyon and Cynthia Fennick, for your belief, investment, and exemplary cultural shift. Lions 500 Service Club, Modesto Downtown Rotary, City Ministries, Wells Fargo, thank you, Crystal Ware, for bringing 3 Modesto branches and 1 Patterson branch online this last year. Students at California State University at Stanislaus, I think one of my own professors is in the room, April, shout out. The United Way of Stanislaus County and their volunteer program staff, the Center for Human Services, and our newest partner, drumroll please, the city of Modesto. I am truly a magbag. These are what make this program worthy of the recent 2014 CSAC Challenge Award distinction. Over the last two decades, the federal executive branch, our presidents, have recognized January as National Mental Awareness Month. And we ask this morning that you proclaim January 2015 as Mental Awareness Month here in Stanislaus County, consistent with your own past practice. On January 22, we will once again celebrate our effort with our annual Mentor Awards program. Since 2007, the Stanislaus County Office of Education has co-hosted this evening of festivities. With this year, we'll hold our event at the Salida Public Library. This year will be at the Salida Public Library, for those of habit, at 4835 Sisk Road in Salida, beginning at 5 p.m. And I'd like to personally invite each of you gentlemen to attend and see firsthand the passion, the commitment, the investment, the love that this program inspires on Thursday evening, January 22, in Salida. Gentlemen, this is the essence, it is the magic of what public sector work can and ought to be. I thank you on behalf of my colleagues for encouraging and supporting this powerful program. And with that, I'll stop and get down off of my soapbox and attempt to answer any questions that you may have for me. Thank you for the opportunity to share our status. Norma Baker is here, a site coordinator, a past mentor of the year, a program advocate, and certainly my mentor, and available to accept the proclamation designating January 2015 as Mentor Awareness Month here in Stanislaus County. And I thank you.
Great. Thank you, Keith. Any questions of Keith?
Just comment.
Comments?
One comment. And it's grown beyond you now. It would still exist, but without you and Norma really pushing this and getting it to where it is, there would be no program. And for the youth, Terry always talks about treating we treat the symptom, not the disease. This is treating the disease right here. This is one of those programs. So thank you guys, and we tell you this over and over and over again, but we're going to thank you again and again and again every time you come before us.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Vito. I'm just going to add in a couple things here. I've said this before. This program really, I do think, is a game changer. It really is something that will make a difference. It would be great if we could, in addition to the hours, somehow track these kids, mm-hmm. the ones that are part of this program, and show where they are now. You know, we've been doing this, how many years?
16 years. We're in year 17.
Yeah. So it would be wonderful if we could bring back some kids that they were in this program. They started when they were in third grade, and right. and where are they today? What are they doing? And just to show what an impact this is making would be great. So
I don't know if we can do the science on that because there's a whole lot of
confidentiality
with that. But you know what? We'll reach out, and I know Tiffany's here, and so she'll know I'll be coming, haranguing her for something along those lines. But
that'd be great.
That's a good idea.
Great. And I know that I think Tamara, did Tamara want to say some things?
Good morning, Chairman Withrow and board members, County Council Doring and CEO Risen. Tamara Thomas, Director for the Department of Child Support Services. Thank you for taking the opportunity to recognize the County Mentoring Program on the 16th year of positive role model experiences for children. Our department mission, in part, says that our agency is interested in parents fulfilling their emotional responsibility to children. And the mentoring program and the employees of Stanislaus County, along with the community, can absolutely fill a space in helping parents instill worth in children with a weekly hour donation of their personal time. In the course of my week performing budget issues and training and policy and hiring, administrative responsibilities, report writing, I know that Mondays can always afford me the slice of pie that represents the human component of what I do and what I aim to be. Wendy greets me in the office, makes sure I sign in, holds me accountable for being on time, wants to know why I'm not on time, and gifts me a drawing or two every week of something that's important to her. Yesterday when I showed up Monday, this is what I got, along with a couple pencils that she had provided to me. When I asked her yesterday, I said, Wendy, you know, what would you want my bosses to know about what mentoring means to you and what you believe mentoring to be? And this girl kind of gets it, because what Keith talked about is exactly the bullets that she gave me. I'm improving in my reading. We have fun. I need to have a great education. Not I'm getting a great education. I need to have a great education. And lastly, and I know you want me to be successful. I'm very proud that employees in our department historically have participated in this program and continue to offer hours every year. My thanks to Keith and to Norma, and as well as the schools and those community partners who we have engaged in this process. It's very encouraging, and I would be remiss if I didn't challenge those other departments, aside from the 17 that are participating, to get on board, because it is the preventative action that we need to be out there and having that emotional connection with the children that we want to be successful. So thank you for your time today, and I appreciate it.
Father, you're a rock star.
Thanks, Tamara. Supervisor O'Brien.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I do have some evidence of how well this program works, and a family member was a mentor she has retired from the county service, but she still has contact with the girl that she mentored all the years that she was in there. A little bit of her story is that she was brought here to Mexico by her parents as a child and fell through the cracks. Interesting, her entire family became citizens, but she could not get her citizenship. And finally, at the age of pretty close to 30, she finally became a citizen. She's gone to college and is a productive part of society. And I kind of doubt that might have not happened if it wasn't for the mentor that she had. And that was through Keith's program. And just an incredible story of relationship that they have formed. Between the mentor and the mentoree, it's just incredible, and turned someone's life around and productive part of society now.
That's great. Thanks, Bill. Great story. Okay, I think if we could have Norma come up. I think Norma's going to come up.
We'll yes, please.
Do a presentation for her.
She's going to be able to say what she had prepared for the CSAC Challenge Award.
The light is on. The light's still on. Okay, we got it? Okay, very good. I was told by David I needed to stand in front of the symbol last time I didn't do this. I got in big trouble. Okay, this is just on behalf of the Board of Supervisors. This is our recognition for all you guys do with this program. You know, one thing we didn't mention in that we're talking about how it's really literally an hour, 45 minutes an hour twice a week that we do this. And you think that how can you really change somebody's reading? How can you change their life in such a short period of time? But more than anything, at least that I've found, is that it's just us being there. It's allowing these kids to see something different that they don't see, a different way of life that possibly they're not exposed to. And it just means the world to them. It's just something that they wouldn't have otherwise. And just like Bill's story, what a change it makes in people's lives. So for all you do with this program, anyway, we appreciate it. And it's really is, like I say, a game changer. I'd like to say a few words.
I changed up the speech a little bit. Sorry. But I'd like to thank the Board of Supervisors for your support, County Council, Stan Risen, CEO. Cynthia Finnick, for all your support with SCO, you've been very helpful. I didn't want to say a whole lot, except that Supervisor Withrow is correct. We're role models, so we are showing these kids a different way. And stop to think about it's national attention now, mentoring, and we started ours 16 years ago, so we were one of the first. And Marianne Rucker was supposed to be here today. She was our mentor of the year last year. She had a conflict in her schedule. But on all the mentors' behalf and Marianne's, thank you very much.
Bravo.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you, guys. Now we're going to move on to our public hearing, our 905. Public hearing?
We'll need to approve.
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess we need a motion to accept the report.
Motion to approve the report.
Okay, motion by Supervisor O'Brien. Do I have a second?
Second it.
Second by Supervisor Montes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? 5-0. Thank you. Okay, sorry. Thanks, Christine. Okay, now the 905 hearing.
Good morning, Chairman Withrow, members of the board, CEO Risen, and Mr. Doring, Angela Freitas, Planning Director. With me this morning to present the project, which is a Williamson Act Constellation and Lot Line Adjustment, is Miguel Galvez, Planning Manager.
Good member, excuse me. Good morning, Chair Withrow, and members of the Board of Supervisors, CEO Risen, County Council Doring, members of the public. Again, Miguel Galvez, Planning Manager for the county. The item before you is a request for three actions. Action number one involves a lot line adjustment request to adjust two parcels, though the adjustment will consist of 14 acres. The parcels will go from 0.48 acres and 34.22 acres to 62 and 34 acres. The second portion of the action is to cancel two Williamson Act contracts. Those are the contracts there, and the appropriate amount there. It's just a small partial cancellation of those contracts. At the end, it's going to involve approval of a new Williamson Act contract. The property generally is located on the east side of the city of Houston, north of the community of Denair, on the south side of East Service Road, on the east side of Sperry Road there. The property is zoned A to 10. The general plan designation for the site is also general, is agriculture, general agriculture. Parcel number two is the larger parcel, it's 34.72 acres there. The smaller parcel you can see is right there. It's actually a ranchette. Those are the two properties that will be adjusted. On this part, on this slide here, it's a little interesting. The larger parcel, parcel two, consists of three Williamson Act properties. This blue line represents each Williamson Act contract. So this overall parcel, which is unusual, is enrolled in three separate Williamson Act contracts. In addition, two of the contracts involved other properties that are not part of this project. So it makes it a little more complicated. The actual lot line adjustment will move the property line, the smaller parcel, which is represented here in this green line. It will increase that parcel to this red line. So in the end, the cancellation involves this portion of the contract and this portion of the contract. At the end, the overall parcel here will enter into a new contract. Okay? The property is developed, the smaller property is developed with a single family dwelling. The larger property only has a mobile home, and it's under agricultural production. As I mentioned, there's the general plan designation. In terms of findings, there's a number of findings that have to take place. They're all listed in the board's agenda report. Staff believes all the findings can be made. This is just a partial list of them. In the end, staff recommends that the board approve the findings listed in the staff report, approve the lot line adjustment, and enter into a new Williamson Act contract. That's it. Staff's available for questions.
Thanks, Miguel. Any questions of the board, of Miguel or Angela?
Does it meet the test of no net loss of Williamson Act land?
I believe it does, yes. The small parcels, let me go back there. The area that Jester really is right here, it's not under agricultural production per se. It's just part of the original land. The intent of the property, the intent of the lot line adjustment is to reflect the kind of the occupancy, so that land has not been under agricultural production.
With the Williamson Act cancellation itself, there will be a slight reduction in the amount of land under Williamson Act to compensate for the lot line adjustment, but it still meets the requirement of the lot line provisions.
I thought the provisions were that there was no net loss under the contract. Department of Conservation, that's not the case.
There can be up to a 90%. There are some allowances with the cancellation. It's treated a little differently than if you were just doing a rescission reentry with the lot line adjustment, which would constitute no net loss.
I don't know what that means, but if you tell me that it's okay,
When you do a rescission reentry, the requirements are that there be no net loss within the Williams-Snack contracts themselves. You adjust the boundaries, but at the end of the day, you end up with the same amount of acreage that was in Williams-Snack that was out. In this case, it's in order to facilitate the lot line adjustment, and with the cancellation, there is going to be a reduction because you can't put that 0.14 acres that's being pulled out of contract back in anywhere.
And to be clear, they're paying a penalty for that cancellation,
correct?
Right?
Yes, they are paying.
They're paying to get that piece out.
Correct.
Okay.
Any other questions by the board? Any questions from the public? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so now I open the public hearing. Okay, thank you. Any questions from the public? Okay, and now we close the public hearing. We bring it back to the board.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? 5-0. Thank you. Thank you guys very much. Okay, we move on to correspondence.
This board has received a letter from Abercrombie Kids regarding the closure of their store at Vintage Fair located at 3401 Dale Road in Modesto, California, with layoffs beginning on January 19, 2015, per the Workers' Adjustment and Retraining Notification Act.
Refer to Santa Claus Economic Development and Workforce Alliance and the Alliance WorkNet.
This board has received two notices from the Fish and Game Commission regarding proposed regulatory action relative to mammal hunting regulations for the 2015-16 season and proposed changes in the Central Valley salmon sport fishing regulations.
Refer to the Fish and Wildlife Committee.
This board has received a letter from the Federal Emergency Management Agency regarding the structure located at 1713 Poland Road in Modesto, California, and if it is within a special flood hazard area.
Refer to the Department of Planning and Community Development.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Board of Supervisors reports. Supervisor Chiesa.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to ask the CEO if I could get a presentation from the Treasurer Tax Collector. There's been some confusion on some of the property tax bills with some of the constituents, so I thought it'd be a good opportunity to let the public know and give them a chance to comment on it.
Okay. We'll follow through with that.
Thank you.
Very good. Any other reports? Okay. Legislative, Fiscal, and Management Report. CEO Risen.
Thank you, Chairman. On January 9th, the governor released his proposed budget. Is this on? Okay. And just wanted to highlight a couple things. Included in the proposed budget is accelerated repayment for some debt that the state has owed us dating back prior to 2004, over 10 years, for mandate reimbursement. And of that $533 million, it's anticipated counties will receive about 73% of it. In addition, there's $125 million that was set aside for a continuing community correction program funding related to SB 678, which is an incentive program. Also, money is set aside for payment in lieu of taxes. And $150 million this year for Medi-Cal county administrative costs. One other thing of note is the governor is also proposing of the Prop 1 water bond funding that $22 million be set aside for groundwater management planning. So we'll want to be keeping a close eye on that. On another front, some more good news at the state level as it relates to their revenue. So far, year-to-date, they're about $3 billion ahead of original anticipated revenue levels. So. Finally, CEO staff, including Keith Boggs and Angela Freitas, made their rounds up at the state capitol this last week to discuss the Crow's Landing Business Park with our elected delegation and other staff. Finally, at the federal level, the North Valley Recycled Water Project is an important milestone with the Bureau of Reclamation publishing the EIR, EIS on the project. So that's an important key step in that project, which we're really excited to see. That concludes my report.
That's great. Stan, do you know of the amount that coming back to the county there? You said 73% is coming back to the counties. Well, how much? Do you have any idea how much that is to us? What is our?
So last year it was $100 million, and I think it resulted in, gosh.
That's okay. Whenever
I might be speaking off the top of my head, but I think in the neighborhood of $300,000 to $400,000.
Okay. Great. Very good. Very good. Thank you. Okay, now closed session. We have a closed session.
Yes. Adjourning the regular meeting, we'll be moving into closed session to have conference with legal counsel to discuss existing litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision D1. This involves one case, Nathan Serpa versus Stanislaus County, United States District Court, Eastern District of California, case number 1:13CV01159-LJO-BAM. We do not expect to report out on this matter, and it would be appropriate to ask if there are any public comments.
Okay, do we have any public? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I don't have a public comment on this, but I can get that number.
Okay, good. Any public comment on closed session? Okay, Supervisor Chiesa.
The number expected last year was about 800,000, and this year the expectation is about 4.3 million.
So I can explain the difference between the number I shared with you is I was counting what went into discretionary revenue.
Yeah.
And some of it goes right back into departmental revenue. So yeah, you're correct. It would have been a higher amount. Yeah.
Very good. Thank you. Okay. If no other things discussed, this meeting is adjourned.